Let me invite you to get your Bibles. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was Joel and the name of the second was Abijah. They were the judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramoth and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel, and they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, and they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them and for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. And he will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and let some to plow the ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and will give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to the officers and the servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servant. And you will cry out in the day because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, that the king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city." Samuel was a very faithful prophet of the Lord. Samuel's sons were not. Samuel became of an age where he could no longer do the work. He turned this work over to his sons with the hope that they would follow in his steps and follow the Lord. But instead, his sons were corrupt. They were selfish. They were greedy. They took bribes from the people who wanted certain things done certain ways. They were dishonest, and they perverted God's laws. So in an effort to solve their own problem, the people comes to Samuel and says, "We want a king." They look around at the nations around them who all had kings, and they came up with the idea in their own mind, "We need to be like them, because we are not like them. We want a king." And of course, Samuel, with the instruction of the Lord, gave them what they wanted. In other words, they wanted to follow the crowd. They wanted to be like everybody else. And this displeased God. And I want to tell you, my friends, it displeases God today when we simply want to be like everybody else. Y'all, because God wants us to be different, just as He wanted the children of Israel to be different. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, "Go therefore out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." God is looking for us to be different than those who are out there. And I would like to think that everyone in here want to be different from all of those who are out there. Because out there is where you find the corruption. It is out there that you find the selfishness and the greediness, those who want things their way and will do anything to get their way. Do you ever look at other people or maybe other churches and think to yourself, ooh, wouldn't it be nice to be like them? Have you ever done that? I know from time to time, Pat and I get to visit with different congregations, and sometimes we're very impressed with what we see. Sometimes I bring these ideas back, and Terry and I discuss them. In fact, today we discussed something that he saw last week when he was on a trip and visited with a different congregation in North Georgia. And we discussed these ideas, which are very good ideas. Don't you sometimes think, oh, I wish we could do that. I wish we had this. It seems sometimes other people seem to have it so much better than we do. And we want really what they have. Sometimes other churches seem to have it all together. And sometimes it seems that they run and operate as smooth as silk. That they get better every day and they grow by leaps and bounds. Sometimes you need to back up and get the whole picture. Sometimes growth is growth, but it's not good growth. Sometimes other things get in the way of that growth and grow in with the good. We only see the good things, though. We don't see the whole picture. All we see is our own problems and how they are doing so well. God, on the other hand, sees it all. And He only wants what's best for us. You see, God knew that Israel having a king would lead to some tremendous trouble. And as we continue reading through the books of Samuel and the books of the Kings, we find out exactly the kind of trouble Israel got into because of it. But that's why He told Samuel, you better warn them. You better let them know what's going to happen when they get a king, because you see, they really don't know what's going on over there in those other nations. All they know is they have a king. You know, being different can be hard. Were you different in school? Was anybody in here ever different in school? You remember being in school and sometimes being humiliated because you were different? Or remember the times when you should have been different, but you wasn't. You know, we need to remember that the crowd never respects the followers in the crowd. They respect the leaders. There is respect for those who stand up for what they believe in. There is generally no respect for a follower. People, we say we despise the hypocrites. Those who act holier than thou. Those who try to be different just for different sake. Do we sometimes do the same thing? Do we sometimes find ourselves following the hypocrite because they seem to have popularity? They seem to have people who care for them and want to be like them. Do you find yourself doing that? Sometimes it's hard to be different. It was hard for the Apostle Peter to be different. We all know the occasion when he was standing by the fire on the night of Jesus' betrayal. He stood out. When he spoke, he was recognized for being different. He didn't want to be different. He didn't want them to know that he was different. So he tried to cover it up. He tried to cover up who he was and what he was. And in all probability, he regretted that the rest of his life. But you know, that wasn't the end of the Apostle Peter and his issues and his problems in life. You see, he liked to go along with the crowd. On another occasion, he had problems accepting the Gentiles as a part of Christianity. He wanted to go along with the Jews. He said, oh, we don't want to have anything to do with those people. And he actually did so in Galatians chapter 2. And we find, as a result, Paul had to stand before him face to face and say, look, this is wrong. We don't make differences in people anymore. We're all God's children. Peter, you need to grow up. You need to understand that we do not differentiate between each other as children of God. I didn't bring this out to judge Peter. I brought this out so we can learn from his mistakes. You see, instead of being concerned what others think about us, instead of being concerned what we think about ourselves, we need to be concerned about what Jesus thinks about us. So how does God want us to be different? Well, let's think about some things that people have done to be different in the name of God. Of Jesus. We've all seen Jesus tattoos, haven't we? Yeah. Does it mean that we need to go around and put a Jesus tattoo on our forehead or on our arm, on our sleeve? Well, that would make us different, wouldn't it? That would definitely make us different. And what about bumper stickers? You know, there's a guy around town here. I don't know where he got all his bumper stickers. He drives an old white van. Well, there's not much white showing. It's all bumper stickers. And they're all religious, and they all make reference to Jesus. You cover your car with religious bumper stickers. That would make you different. That would make you stand out, wouldn't it? If you love Jesus, honk your horn. I love it. You've seen that one? Yeah. Have you ever seen this one? If you love Jesus, go to church. That one's even better, isn't it? Don't see that one very much. Do we fill our yard with neon signs and say, Jesus loves, Jesus lives? Every year, during the Christmas season, there's a house right across from Sherwood Church down the street here, and what they have in their front yard is an apple, and it has, I can't remember the phrase that he has on it, has nothing to do with Christmas. But he puts it out every year. And it's different. I've never seen anything like it. We don't find the New Testament Christian doing anything to get attention. What do Christians do to show Christ? Well, we share with those in need. We help our neighbor. We serve one another. We show our love for one another. With humility, we correct those who are in error about God. And most importantly, we show Jesus within our lives. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine. He didn't mean get a neon sign. He didn't mean take a flashlight and say, look at me, I'm a Christian. That ain't what he was talking about. People should be able to see Christ in us. The way we speak, the way we talk, the way we live. Just like people heard Peter and said, oh, he's different. You know, that should really be the way people look at us. He's different. He doesn't act like all these crazy people on the outside. So, this is how the early church grew. They helped one another. They served as children of God. They didn't do it with tattoos, and they didn't do it with bumper stickers, and they didn't do it with yard signs. Now, Farron's not saying that a Jesus tattoo or a bumper sticker or a sign is sinful. He ain't saying that. Don't go home and say, Farron said tattoos and bumper stickers are a sin. I didn't say that. But at the same time, they will not show Christianity in action. And that's what we are supposed to do. Jesus didn't ask us to write His Word on your car. He asked us to write His Word on your heart. Romans 10, verse 8, the Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That's why He tells us, don't be conformed to what's out there, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with what is in here, following the Word of God. Jesus was different. Jesus was different in the way that He loved. Listen to how the Apostle Paul described how Jesus loved. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. We know this passage well. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. Does this sound like the people out there? Does it sound like you? This should sound like you. Jesus said, I have a new commandment for you. Love. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we are to be different. And we are to be different in the same way that Jesus was different. Now look where it got Him. Yeah, Jesus being different put Him on the cross. But you know that's where He meant to go. And He went there for a reason. So that you and I can be different. So that you and I someday can be together. Think of all the good people in the Bible who were held up as examples for us. Those who we honor and those who we esteem. When you think about these people that I'm about to list, you're going to think, well, they were different, wasn't they? Remember David, who threw the stone at Goliath? When everyone said that Goliath couldn't be beaten, the army of Israel ran in fear of Goliath. David was different. He was the only one who trusted in the Lord because he knew that the Lord could and the Lord would deliver Israel from Goliath. What about Joshua? When all the people around him were serving the pagan idols in the land, what did he say? As for me and my house, we're going to be different. We're going to serve the Lord. Then there was Lot, living in what was the most corrupt city on earth, surrounded by wickedness constantly, yet he did not yield to them. He did not follow their ways, and God saved him. Over in the New Testament, Joseph of Arimathea, what did he do? Well, he did not go along with the Jewish council who wanted to crucify Jesus. And then he also asked Pilate for his body when they did, and put him in his own tomb. These are the people that we remember. Why? Not because they followed the crowd, not because they went along with everybody else, but because they stood up for what was right. The truth of the whole lesson is that when you die, you're not going to care what everybody else thinks about you. You're not going to care about how popular you were or how you fit in with the crowd that you followed. Excuse me. You're not going to care about that. You are going to care about what Jesus thought of you. Because when you get to that point in your life, that's really all that matters. It's not going to matter that you was the president of your club or your company, or that you had money in the bank, or you had a fine home, or drove the nice car. That don't matter anymore. You're not going to think about the prestige that you had as you walked down the street and people say, oh, there goes Farron. You're going to worry about what Jesus is about to think about you as you stand before Him in judgment. God doesn't want us to go to look to the world for the solution to our problems. And that's exactly what the Israelites did here. They tried to take matters into their own hands. And like I said, go on and read the story of the kings. And you will find just what a mess they made of their lives. Jesus wants us to look to Him. To stand up for what we believe in, to practice what we believe in, because we know it's right, even if it's different. Jesus offers us something different. He offers us, first of all, the forgiveness of our sin. No one else has ever been able to do that. And no one has been able to do that since. He is also offering us eternal life. Christianity is the only religion on the globe that offers something after this life is over. And is far, far better than what we have now. And you can have both the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life by being different. By saying no to the world. By saying no to everything other than Christianity. And if you will say yes to Christianity, then you, being different, can have salvation. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you're just like everybody out there. And it's time for you to be different. And if you're a child of God, and you have walked away from the Lord, you're just like everybody else out there. And it's time for you to be different once again. And we give you that opportunity tonight. If you need to respond to the invitation, please do, while we stand to sing.